So on Bava Metzia Daf Yud Amud Beis, and the last thing we discussed was Rav Shimon Shkup. So let me go over Rav Shimon Shkup with you, and now I think I found a number of others who seem to agree with him. I thought it was a pretty big breakthrough, a revolution of sorts, and kind of radical. But I see that there are others. So Rav Shimon Shkup wants to say the following. If you recall, the Gemara had a Hav Avina based on Ravina. Elameata, since Ravina said that Yesh Shliach L'Dvar Avera, if the Shliach is not a Bar Chiyuva, that Omar Le'isha O Eved Tzu V'Ganvuli De'la B'nei Chiyuvei Ninu Hachinami De'machayev Sholchan. So Gemara here suggests and later rejects it, that if he sends a woman to steal something, then he, the Mshalech, is going to be Chayev. And the reason for that is based on Ravina, we don't apply the principle of Ein Shlich L'Dvar Avera. Shlichus here is meaningful, it's valid, because she is a Lav Bar Chiyuva. So Rav Shimon Shkup says the following. We know, and the Gemara never questioned this premise, that an Isha of the Eved Muzharim Belav Delo Signov. So as far as the Avera is concerned, for sure, they're included in the Avera. However, he says that when you send the Shliach, that Shlichus is not just on the Avera of Gneva, but it's also on the Chiv Tashlumen of Gneva, meaning that once the Shliach is appointed, and if he represents the Mishalech and Shlucho Shaladim Kimoso, then what relates back to the Mishalech is a twofold halacha. Number one, it's the Avera per se, and now we would mete out an onesh to the Mishalech. But number two, also the Chiyuvim of Gneva, whatever Tashlume Mamon that would be incurred through the Gneva, those would also relate back to the Mishalech. And he says the following. The Gemara never had a Hava Mina that Yesh Shliach L'Dvar Avera, that because the Isha is not liable, meaning we cannot sue her in a court of law for her Gneva, that therefore the Mishalech should be Chai for the Avera. No, as far as Avera is concerned, meaning Onshin, there was never a Hava Mina. It was always clear that he's Potter. And the reason for that is because Direi Rav and Direi Talmud, as far as the Avera is concerned, you don't relate the Avera of the Shliach to the Mishalech, and she's included in that Avera no less than he is. But what was the Hav Amina, says Rav Shimon? There's another dimension, as we said, to Shlichus. Not only does the Avera relate to the Mishalech, but also the Chiv Tashlumen relates to the Mishalech. So we could talk about Shlichus in terms of the Achrayus, that a person is responsible for the Avera and therefore he gets punished. We can talk about Shlichus in terms of the Chiv Tashlumen that's incurred as a result of, and he doesn't use this term, but Kinyone Gneva. So as far as Ein Shlich L'Dvar Avera is concerned, we may be able to split it into two. In the Havamina of the Gemara, we would say that since an Isha is a Lav Bar Chiyuv, again, to emphasize for the 50th time, she's not excluded from the Aver of Gneva. She's certainly included in the Aver of Gneva. And there was never a Hav Amina that the Aver of Gneva would accrue to the Mishaleach and would not relate to her as the Balas Avera when she made the decision to steal something. She cannot claim, well, I was being obedient to the Mishaleach and therefore I'm exonerated from any sort of Chiyuv Onshim and Achrayus for the Mais Avera. But we did think we'd be subject to Shlichus is the mominous aspect, meaning this Maisa is not just the Maisa Avera, but it has significance and repercussions in Dini Mominos. And here we would say the following, that if both the Mishaleach and the Shliach share that Achrayus on the level of Mamon, in terms of what kind of payments they would have to incur, then we would apply the principle of Ein Shliach L'Dvar Avera. But if the Mishalech is the only one who is held responsible for the repercussions of these actions in Dini Mominos, he's the one who through Kinyon and Gneva is going to have to pay for the Gneva and return the Gneva, etc., etc., then he, since she doesn't have that Chiyuv in Tashlumen, although she does have the Aver, but she doesn't have Achrayus, he calls it Achrayut Mamonit, meaning monetary responsibility to pay for the object, then as far as the Mishalech is concerned, it's yeshlichus. The shlichus could be chal, not for the avera per se, but for the chiv tashlumen. And that's because she's a lav bas chiv tashlumen. So therefore, it's not like he passed it on to someone or appointed someone who's a bar chiyuv and tashlumen, and now that person, that shaliach, takes on the chiyuv tashlumen. No, if that shaliach can't take on the chiyuv tashlumen, then the chiyuv remains in the territory, in the turf of the mishaliach. That's Reb Shimon Shkab. And I thought that this was pretty revolutionary, but now I want to share with you that I think a number of the Gdolei HaAchronim accepted it without knowing Reb Shimon, perhaps, but they accepted a similar approach, that we can split the shlichus and the issue of shlichus into two different parts. I call it the relativity theory of shlichus relative to the avera, and whether the avera relates back to the mishaleach or to the shliach, and tashlume mamon as a chiyuv mamon. So I have for you here a shtickel Torah in the name of Rav Tzvi Hirsch. I'm not sure who he is, but apparently he was quoted by the Noda B'Yehuda. Rav Tzvi Hirsch. So again, if you have the page that I gave out, it's footnote number 148 on page Tuf Ayin Gimel.
Finished after Tuf Ayin Gimel.
Ah, okay. So let's see if I have... if I have it here. Okay, so we'll listen Baal Peh. Okay, or you know what, maybe you'd want to, you know what, at least for the Shia you could look at this, and then later we'll photocopy if anybody who wants. Okay then, so this is Rav Tzvi Hirsch. Okay, that's what we're looking at on top,
the footnote.
Yeah, I'm just telling you the footnote so that you can attach it to a name.
149?
Yeah. So again, this paragraph begins on Tuf Ayin Beis, which I think, John, you do have, correct? Tuf Ayin Beis?
Right, right.
So you'll look at the last two lines here. He says that Ein Shlich HaAvera Bi Yisodo, that principle is a Svara to be Mechayev the Shliach, because he doesn't have to be obedient to the Mishaleach, and the Rav, meaning the Almighty, tells him exactly what he has to do, what he's not allowed to do. And therefore, since the shliach is responsible, he steps into the shoes of what we call the Baal HaVera. In other words, who is the Baal HaVera here? Who's responsible? Who's guilty? Is it the shliach or the mishaleach? And the answer is that since the shliach is included in the HaVera, therefore, divrei Rav, divrei Talmud, divrei Shomim, he, the shliach, becomes responsible. That's on the level of HaVera. But nevertheless, he says that there's another dimension to shlichus here, in this case of an avera. And he says that that's as far as tashlumen is concerned. Because until now we've been discussing the avera. But now we ask ourselves the following question: although as far as avera, she's included in the avera, but as far as tashlumen, enom isha v'yevet enom b'nei tashlumen. So he's well aware of the fact that as far as who's responsible for the avera, certainly she's responsible for the avera because she's included on the lo sigzol. But he says, as far as tashlumen is concerned, ein kan gorem she yiftar es hamshalech. There's no reason to pater up the mshalech. And yeah, you see that. And the reason for that is because, as far as the chiyuvim are concerned, it's he, the mshalech, and only the mshalech. He's the one who's exclusively chayev in tashlumen. There's no one else who's chayev in tashlumen. So he can't pass on the responsibility and the guilt, as far as the avera is concerned, to the isha, because she's guilty for the avera, she had to make her own decision. But as far as the tashlumen is concerned, he cannot pass that on, and therefore remains in the category of shlichus, and the mishaleach is chayev. We'll take a look now at the Yonas Elem. The Yonas Elem, you'll see in footnote number 151, just again for the name, he was what we call an Alta Mira, if you ever heard of that phrase. He learned in the Mir Yeshiva back in Litta. And he wants to mechadish the following, that As far as the Chiyuv Keren Shel Gneva is concerned, there's a din miyuchad. You know, whenever you see those, that phrase din miyuchad, you wake up from a slumber. You know that he's saying some sort of a kind of a lumdisha thing. Shegilsa Torah sha'af she'ein shliach laver legabi alav v'hayoroi loma shekol ashlichus betela. He says that we have a source in the Torah. We'll soon see what that source in the Torah that tells us that even though the shlichus is completely null and void as far as the avera element is concerned. So let's read it again. He says, "Af she'ein shlich udvar ve'lu gabi alav." So again, as far as the avera is concerned, there's no shlichus. You can't hold him shalech responsible for violating a law. That's called ein shlich udvar ve'ra. We would logically, again, if not for what we're going to soon see as a yalfusa, we would have concluded that the whole shlichus is completely null and void. Because you sent someone for dvar avera, and the Torah says that we don't recognize shlichus with regard to the avera. But on the other hand, you did appoint that person as a shliach, so is there any meaning, is there any significance to that shlichus? And it would be chal. At least not as far as the Aver is concerned, but as far as another dimension is concerned, which he's going to now spell out. Gilsa Torah, I underlined this, I don't know if it came out in the underline. Gilsa Torah, Shashlichus Eina Betela Legabi Chiyuv HaMamon. So you want to emphasize or underline here the phrase Gilsa Torah, which we'll soon see where he knows and how he develops this idea. Number two, Shashlichus Eina Betela Legabi Chiyuv HaMamon. Do you see where he's separating again between the Avera per se and the guilt thereon and the Chiyuv HaMamon? And where do we see this ribui? So he invokes the parsha of Tvicha Mechira and Shlichus Yad B'Pikadon. The Torah, with regard to two different cases, says that there is a Shliach Udvar Ver. So let's say, for example, Reuven steals an animal. And he asks Shimon, he appoints Shimon, to shech the animal, or to sell the animal. In such a case, Reuven, the Ganov, is going to be chayev for Dalet Vehei, for the Tvichu Mechira, through a shliach. And the Gemara derives that from a pasuk. It says, V'tavach o machar, the extra word o. It could have said, V'tavach u machar, the extra word o, is going to teach me l'rabos shluchachem.
What's the Dvar Aver of the shliach in this case? Because the shliach doesn't necessarily know it's stolen, and there's no lav for the shliach to do a tefichah mechira. I mean, unless you say he has a chiyuv to be bodek to see the shor was purchased legitimately,
right.
But I mean, other than that, he hasn't been over on any avera.
Yeah, you're right. That's a good point. We'd have to go back to the sugya and kiddushin and figure that out. V'chein shlichus yad. So what happens now? There's a shomer. And he appoints a shliach on his behalf to be shalech yad, meaning to use the object. And guess what? The mishalech is chayim. And now we have two cases where there's shlichus advar vera. Now let's ask the following question. What does that mean? Is the Torah telling me A or B? A, that the mishalech is chayim for the lav, he violates the avera here. Let's say, for example, Shlichus Yad is a gzela, is a violation of gzela, or Tvicha Mechira is a repeat of the gzela. There's two levels of gzela. There's one level of gzela where you violate the law by stealing it. Another level is where you sell it or you shecht it. So what does it mean, Yesh Shlichus Dvar Aveira, when the Torah is marba in these two cases that there is Shlichus? Nira, again, this is the inside of the Onus Elam. And he wants to say Sharibu Zeh Nemar Rak L'Chayev Es HaMashalech B'Chiyuv Mamon. Wow. Again, he's using the same conceptual framework and the two dinim of Shimon Shkop. Again, unbeknown to him, I don't think for one moment that he knew Rav Shimon Shkop. Avalola Inyan Averis Halav. That's not what the Torah is saying. The Torah is separating between two dimensions. And what the Torah is saying is that there is shlichus, I grant you, in these two cases, but not for the avera. As far as the avera is concerned, either you do the avera or you don't do the avera, but you're not held responsible for the avera. But what about the chiyuv? For example, shomer is now chayev for onsim after shlichus yagid pikadon, and a ganav is going to be chayev dal vehei after tvichu mechira. Here's where we say yesh shlich l'dvar avera. Again, that same distinction that we saw before. As far as the lav is concerned, there was never a chiddush in which the Torah says that shlichus operates with regard to the lav, but rather with regard to the lav, we go back to the principle of ein shlich l'dvar avera. Ulechora, ech kayemes hashlichus agabi chiyuv mamon. If you're telling me that there's no shlichus as far as the avera, so why is there shlichus as far as the chiyuv mamon is concerned? Hare yesh kan avera salav shelagabeha ein shlich ledvar avera shari lo nisrabsa shlichus legabe alav. In other words, we're asking the following question. We have a ribu in the Torah of shlichus. We know that there's a principle of ein shlich ledvar avera. So now we have a shnei ksum amachishim zedzeh. We have what seems to be on the surface of it an irreconcilable contradiction. On the one hand, the Torah says shlichus does operate in this case of an avera. On the other hand, the Torah says there can't be shlichus for an avera. So al karchach, the only way of reconciling this contradiction is by saying that when the Torah says there is shlichus in these cases of tficha mechira and shlichus yad pikadon, it's not upsetting the principle of ein shlich l'dvar avera. As far as the isur gzeil is concerned, once again, there's no shlich l'dvar avera. But what the Torah is teaching me is that yesh shlich l'dvar avera l'gabi the chiyuv mamon. And as we said before, in tficha mechira and in shlichus yad, the mishaleach now through shlichus will incur all those chiyuvei mamon. But as far as the Issa is concerned, the lav is lo signov, and if he sent the shliach, there's no shlichus advar vera. So we see over and over again in three different gedolei achronim that they want to distinguish, and that really sets up a whole new pattern for understanding the Havamina of the Gemara, that since she is a lav bar chiyuva, then we have this chiddush in the Torah that the Torah says that yesh shlich l'dvar avera as far as the chiyuv mamon is concerned, but that only applies if the mishaleach has a right to say, well, why should I incur the chiyuv mamon? Let the shliach incur the chiyuv mamon. In other words, if the shliach has the chiyuv mamon, then the Torah is saying that the mishaleach doesn't have the chiyuv mamon. In that case, the baal avera is also the baal chiyuv mamon. But let's say we have an example where the shliach is not a bar chiyuva. For example, the case of a shomer, where the shomer appointed a shliach to move the object around, right? The pikadon, move it from upstairs to downstairs. So as far as the shliach is concerned, there are no chiyuvim over here. Well, let's say the case of tvicha mechira, on the contrary, he who shechts the animal should be paid for a shchita. He doesn't have to incur any sort of chiyuv mamon. Here's where the Torah says that since the shliach has no, he's not nitfas, he's not included in the parash of chiyuv mamon, we're going to apply now, according to this gzeres hakos, of yesh shliach l'dvar avera. Again, l'dvar avera is only a description of the nature of the action, but if you're talking about yesh shliach, you're talking about yesh shliach not as far as the avera is concerned, but as far as the chiyuv mamon is concerned, and therefore, when the Gemara is a havamina, that the Baal, let's say, or whoever sent her as a shliach to steal, he'll have to pay all the chiyuve mamon of gzela, of gneva. The answer is, here's a case where even though ain't shliach l'dvar avera, as far as the avera is concerned, she's liable for the avera, but nevertheless, as far as the chiyuv mamon is concerned in gneva, the one who's going to incur those chiyuvim is the mishaleach, because of this gzeres hakos of yesh shliach l'dvar avera. And Rav Ol say, you know, it's almost as if the Yonis Elim is telling me that the Gzeres HaKosev is itself separating, splitting between these two dimensions. Why? Because we want to reconcile what seems to be a conflict between this Gzeres HaKosev of Yesh Shliach L'Dvar Avera and the universal principle that Ein Shliach L'Dvar Avera. How do we reconcile that? We must assume that if this Yalfusa is telling me Yesh Shliach L'Dvar Avera, even though Ein Shliach L'Dvar Avera, it must be splitting between the Avera and the Onshin for the Avera and the Chiyuv Mamon that's incurred by that action. Wow. I'm telling you, I'm amazed, because two things. I have to tell you, I'm happy for two things. One thing I'm happy about is that Rav Shimon Shkop is not alone. The second thing I'm happy about is if you accept this mahalach, and again, it seems to be a push in the Achronim, then we have an answer to that question that boggled my mind as to how the Gemara had the chutzpah, so to speak, of having a hava mina that yesh shliach l'dvar aver because she's not a bar chiyuva. How could that be? It can't be for two reasons. Number one, because she shares the avera of lo signo of no less than he does, the mishaleach. And secondly, we have a principle called divrei rava, divrei talmid, divrei mishomim. Unless you assume, as some would like to assume, that Ravina rejected that, and he never had the principle of divrei rav. But other achronim, and it goes back to mishonim, assume, I think we saw it in the Ritva, that even Ravina agrees that we have a principle called divrei rav, the divrei talmid, divrei mishonim. Okay. Yesha Kosov, at this point, he's quoting, I think, Rav Yisrael Zev Gustman. Are you familiar with Rav Gustman?
His name is very familiar.
Yeah. Rav Gustman. You heard him. Yeah, I knew him not that well, but I knew him a little bit. He was a very unique personality, also a Holocaust survivor. I mean,
he was a partisan or something.
Right. He was hand chosen by Reb Chaim Oz at the age of 17 to sit on the Bezdin in Vilna. It was like the most chashuv of Bezdin in all of Litta at the age of 17. Anyway, he says the following. Now, he's going to quote a Tosfos, which we haven't gotten to, but maybe we'll work backwards, if it's okay with you, and first we'll see his insight, and then we can go back to the Tosfos. Shebishliach l'dvar avera, hashlichus kayemes. We are on page Tof Ayin Gimel, the second paragraph, V'yesha Kosav. Okay? And our goal is to get to footnote number 153, which is towards the end of this paragraph.
So, like, this is Rav Gustman?
This is Rav Gustman. It's largely based on his interpretation of the Nesivos HaMishpat. The Nesivos, you know, lived about two centuries ago. He was a prolific writer. Anyway, let's go on. He says the following. We think that ein shlichus l'dvar avera means that the whole shlichus is completely batel umevutal. But he says no. Even in the case of shlichus l'dvar avera, hashlichus kayemes levad midvar havera. The shlichus is still valid if you can extract from the shlichus, separate, you know, what do they call it in chemistry, you know, when you have two elements that are mixed up, but you can do a kind of laboratory procedure by which you separate the two elements. I don't know, it has a word for it. Anyway, so he's saying the following. Ein shlich l'dvar avera doesn't mean that the shlichus is null and void. It means that the shlichus is null and void as far as the avera is concerned. But any other dimension to the maisa, to the action of the shliach, which has nothing to do with the avera, is still subject to shlichus. Lachem. Despite the fact that she violates the law of lo signo, so as far as the aver is concerned, she's no less culpable than he is. But nevertheless, the chiyuv is the shlichus is chal legabi chiyuv tashlumin. Wow, this is exactly what we've been saying over and over again. But he adds that this depends upon two answers of Tosfos, and this is the Tosfos the Omar, which is the next to the last Tosfos on your page on Daf Yudam and Beis. L'tiritz arishon shechalim akidushin. I'm right now reading again. This is not the scholarly way of doing it, so you'll be meichel me. Right now, I'm reading from the Otzim Mefarshei Talmud. Oh, shel Tosfos. Now, Tosfos wants to know what happens. We're going to have a long discussion about this case. If a kohen appoints a shliach to marry a woman on his behalf, and she happens to be a grusha. And in this case, we're going to apply the principle of Ein Shliach L'Dvar Avera. Again, this is going to be dependent upon the machlokes between Ravina and Rav Sama. And the Gemara thinks that according to Ravina, there will be shlichus here, because the shaliach in this case is the Yisrael, and he doesn't have the love of marrying a grusha. He says, according to this Tosfos, chalima kiddushin, even if you would apply the principle of ein shliach l'dvar avera, then the kiddushin would still be chal. In other words, as far as the lav is concerned, there are any punishments thereof, the shlichus is batel u'mevutel kasei ein shliach l'dvar avera. But as far as the chalos of the maisa kiddushin is concerned, ein achinami, the kohen who sent this Yisrael, is going to be married to this woman. I mean, that's tremendous nafkaminus. It means she's an eishes ish. It means she needs a get. It means that every moment he's violating an iser of grusha l'kohen. He says, muchach, shemaisa shlichus kayam, according to this day in Tosfos, levad me'avera. Notice, even though we negated the shlichus vis-a-vis the avera, but nevertheless the shlichus is very much alive and well as far as the chalos ha'ishus is concerned. The Hezber Advarim, here's where Rav Guzman wants to embellish that day in Tosfos. Sheklal zeh she'ein shlichus varim nem rak linyan onshin. Shelo onshin Torah es ha'mashaleach al maisa shliach. Aval ha'shlichus atzma kayemes, the shlichus per se is valid, as if there were no avera. So again, as far as the avera dimension is concerned, there's no shlichus, but as far as any other dimension that results from this maisa, the shliach, the shlichus is chai v'kayem. And therefore, the kiddushin is chal in the case of grusha l'kohen, and the mishaleach will be chayav for violating the isur of marrying a grusha. If we apply that in the case of an isha who was sent as a shliach to steal something, so rak l'gabi avera v'yonch, as far as the avera and any punishments thereof, then she is liable and not the mishaleach. Because ain't shlich l'avera al chiv tashlume gneva eino onesh al maisa avera elu chiv kishar chiyuvei Torah kidin mazik v'shomer. Wow, you hear what he's saying? That the chiyuvei tashlumen of a ganov is simply because he made a kinyan on the chefza nignav. It's exactly like the case of a mazik or a shomer who has to pay compensation because he destroyed someone's object, or in the case of a shomer, he was careless about watching someone else's object. Now, what Rav Guzman is borrowing from the Nesivos is this point that the chiyuv of mazik and the chiyuv of shomer is a tashlumen that has nothing to do with avera. It's not an onesh for the sin of shlichus yad bepikadon or mazik. Again, exactly what the avera of mazik is, it's not clear. I mean, Yonah in his Pirush on Avos writes that a mazik is in violation of lo signov, which is a pella because a mazik doesn't take the object into his rishus. But be that as it may, there are like eight different possibilities of why a mazik is over an avera, which avera he violates. So Reb Shimon quotes the Nesivos. The Nesivos is famous for saying that when you talk about the chiyuv mamon of a mazik or the chiyuv mamon of a shomer, then you're not talking about avera at all. And it has nothing to do, it's totally independent of the avera. So even if you'd find Lu Yitzur, a mazik who didn't violate the avera, or a shomer who didn't violate the avera, they would still be chayav compensation because the compensation is a chiyuv mamon. It's like if I borrowed $1,000 from you, that's irrelevant to religious, pious law or observance. It's not an avera, it's not a mitzvah, it's nothing. It's a chiyuv mamon. And a shomer has a chiyuv mamon, a mazik has a chiyuv mamon. And now we can say that a ganav has a chiyuv mamon. That's what Rav Guzman wants to claim. Avol etiritz hasheni b'tosas she'ein hakedushin chalim. Tosas has another opinion. We'll look at it inside in just a minute. That when a Yisrael is sent as a shliach to be mekadesh a grusha on behalf of the kohen, then the kedushin is null and void. The shlichus is completely null and void. Muchach, what we see from that teretz and tosfos is that ein hashlichus kayemes klal bidvar b'dvar avera, that there is no shlichus at all in the case of dvar avera, even as far as the chalos ha'ishus is concerned, which is not an avera per se, but it's really a din of chalos. Now, why does Tosus offer these two different approaches? So let's take a quick look at Tosus. Tosus says, Tosus the afal gav. You see, it's about four lines down, maybe five lines down. Afal gav the over mishum lifnei evil osite michshal. The Israel is violating the iser of lifnei evil kishem akachel koin. Which is Rav Samo, which is Ravina. According to both of them, there won't be any malchus. We want to assume that the Kohen here, if you hold Yeshliach with Varavera, according to Ravina, would get Malkus for the Kedushin. But it happens to be that Rava says, Kidesh Velobal Eino Loke. Meaning, according to Rava, although there is an Iser for a Kohen to marry a Grusha, but that's not the full-fledged violation. He only violates the Iser in a way that incurs Malkus after Be'ilah. So in this case, where the Kohen sent a shliach of Yisrael to Mekadesh and Megrusha, at this point there's no relevancy, there's no discussion about Malkus because there was no Be'ilah. So what would be the nafkamina between the two opinions of Ravina and Rav Sama? And Tosus offers two answers. The first answer you'll see on the first of the wide lines, he says, Yeshlomet d'chibol acharkach loke afal kedushin. In other words, according to Rav, you need both kiddushin, a valid marriage, and a be'ilah. Well, guess what? Right now you might not have it, but in a few minutes you'll have it when he has be'ilah, and there'll be a chiyuv malchus. That's the old yeshlich l'dvar avera, and that's based on the shita of Ravina, that since the Yisrael is not a bar chiyuva, therefore his shlichus is valid. And if it's valid, then later on, if the Kohen has intimacy with this grusha, at that point, it's considered Kidesh Ubal, and if it's Kidesh Ubal, he gets Malkus for that. Mashenkin according to Rav Sama, Ein Shlich L'Dvar Avir. So Tosus first, in his first Teretz, certainly holds that the Kiddushin is valid. Inami, Yeshlom di Afla Rav and Afkimina di Yesh Shlichus Chalama Kiddushin, Vi Ein Shlichus Ein Chalana Kiddushin. Tosus now departs from his first answer. And he no longer maintains that the shlichus would be chal, such that the Kohen would get malchus when he has be'ilah, because he has now both kedushin and be'ilah. But no, ein shlichus varavera means that even the kedushin themselves are not chal. So Rav Gusman says this machlokas between the two terutz of Tosus is the fundamental issue about how to understand ein shlichus varavera. Is ein shlichus varavera hafkoa shlichus? It's worthless, or is ein shlichus varavera halachin avera? That the avera of the shliach is not related back to the mishaleach to hold him responsible, but nevertheless the shlichus itself is still chal. And Tosin, in the second answer, says no. If ain shlichus v'avera, the whole thing is gone. The shlichus is completely null and void, and ain chal ma kiddushin. But the first teretz of Tosus assumes that despite the ain shlichus v'avera, nevertheless the kiddushin will be chal. Fascinating chiddush of Reb Shimon Shkop to explain the nafkamina between two terutzim of Tosfos. Now Reb Gus wants to add another piece. Now keep in mind, because you may or may not know this, do you know who Reb Gusman's Rebbe was? He had one Rebbe, not just one. I mean, he was very much influenced by Reb Chaim Ozer, but he had one Rebbe that developed his methodology, Reb Shimon Shkop.
He's a Telzer.
Rav Gusman, to some extent, is a Telzer. I'm not sure that he ever learned the Telz, but he definitely was a Talmud Rav Shimon Shkop.
I don't know, maybe it's a little off topic, but I always was wondering, I've never seen a clear explanation exactly what is the Telzer Derech.
Oh, I don't know that the tells the derech. I thought you could ask me about Rav Shimon Shkab's there. But if you want to know what the tells the derech is, the tells the derech, again, the best of my knowledge, I'm sure it's more complicated than this, is to try to clear chakiros that have no nafkamina whatsoever. In other words, to rise up to the abstract world of two definitions, not to explain necessarily a machlokes, but simply because on a philosophical level there are two possibilities. So to look at the world and to come up with two possibilities, that's tells. And Brisk was totally opposed to tells, because in Brisk what you do is you start with halacha. You have machlokes with that, the application of that halacha. Does it apply? Does it not apply? When does it apply? Etc., etc. And then you look for the yesod. You go back to the chakira to try to explain that based on two definitions, we have now a nafkamina l'halacha. But if there's no nafkamina, that's philosophy. There was a fellow in our shia, in my time in the Rav shia, that was a shtickle philosopher, and the Rav used to say to him every time he opened his mouth, and she had no philosophy. I felt so bad. He was the most edel guy you'd ever want to meet. Somebody told me in a previous generation, you know Abba Engelberg? So somebody told me that when Abba Engelberg came from Tells, because he's a Clevelander, and he came to the Shia, the Rav, on the first day of Shia, his first day of Shia, Abba, asked for an explanation, and he yelled out a chakira. So the Rav goes, that's a Tells of Chakir. And he had just arrived from Tells. In any event, so Rav Gusman now quotes his Rebbe, Rav Shimon Shkab, and he adds another piece to the puzzle.
And this was, so wait a second, what we say, this was Rav Shimon Shkab, this was Rav Shimon Shkab's derech, or was it?
The piece that we just learned is actually we quoted originally from Rav Shimon Shkab, and here Rav Gusman embellishes it by saying that this chiddush depends really is rooted on two different terutzim and tosos, which with a tremendous nafkamina. So again, if you ask me Rav Shimon Shkab's derech, I can talk to you about it. But if you ask me the tells of derech, anything I said to you, you know, be'eravon mugbal, with limited liability. Rav Shimon Shkab was a product of Tells in a certain sense, but he was much closer to Reb Chaim's there, and Reb Chaim had a tremendous love for Reb Shimon. I knew a man who learned by Reb Shimon at Yeshiva University. I don't know people. I think Reb David learned by him back in the old country, you know, in what's called Grodno, but. But my friend, I don't know if you know Aaron Silva, his father was, Olav Shalom was the Rav in Harrisburg, Pennsylvania. He was Reblazer Silva's son. And he was one year older than my father. So my father was too young. They wouldn't put him in, allow him into Rav Shimon Shkab's shiur. My father was, I think, 15. But Rabbi Silva was 16, so they allowed him into the shiur. But Rav Shimon only stayed for about 8 months. Because the yeshiva back in Litter would not allow him to stay in that place that had a college, you know, it had yeshiva college. So the pressure was on. But Rav Silva once told me that it was very difficult for the Talmidim to get used to Rav Moshe Soloveitchik. Rav Moshe replaced Rav Shimon Shkab when Rav Shimon went back to Europe, and at that time Dr. Revel took Rav Moshe, but for the Talmidim in that group, it was very, very difficult because Rav Shimon was so charismatic. They just loved his approach. And the whole shiur was like oriented towards the Talmidim. They just loved it. And Rav Moshe was a whole different story. Rav Moshe would come in, he would ask Akasha, and after a half hour, I think my father said the longest shiur he remembers in 5 years from Rav Moshe was about 35, 40 minutes. Totally different than the Rav. The Rav didn't even get warmed up after 40 minutes. You were lucky if you got out of there after 3 hours. You know, I remember a shiur he gave on Thanksgiving. He went for 4.5 hours. And then finally said, all right, go home and eat your turkey. Anyway, so he says the following. El Hosef Lechadesh, the Afle Tirtz Hasheni. You remember that the second Teretz of Tosa says that if Ein Shliach L'Dvar Avera. So we're on the top of page Tuf Ayin Dalet at this point, which I think you have. You don't find Tuf Ayin Dalet? John, you find it? Here, David, look over here, because again, I didn't get a chance to photocopy all the pages, but you can use those pages. He said, now again, the second teretz, if you recall, of Tosfos says that the shlichus in ain't shlichus v'avir is completely null and void, and the kedushin is not chal. Comes along Rav Guzman, again based on his Rebbe, and he wants to be mechadesh, that's a din in kedushin. Shetzarech din shlichus l'kiyum ha-maisa. Kol tokef maisa kedushin v'chalosam heim rak mikoach ha-meshalech. V'lulei din shlichus ein lahem tokef klal. And Sovra Matos in the second teretz came and sheyesh avera b'yetzim ha-maisa, and we apply the principle of ein shlichus v'avera l'gabi avera, i'efshash ha-maisa yisyaches l'meshalech. We look at the Maisa and we ask, is there any way that this Maisa could relate back to the Meshalech? And the answer is no, a flat no, says Tosfos in the second teretz. Why? Because there's an Aver involved. And therefore, if the Aver is involved, then the whole Shlichus is completely null and void, at least as far as Kedushin is concerned. Why? Because Kedushin means that the Maisa, the Shaliach, has to relate back to the Meshalech. We cannot allow ourselves that luxury to apply Shlichus and relate the Maisa, the Shliach, back to the Meshalech, because it's a Maisa Avera. Aval b'shlichus lepu'ulas yodayim greda, if the Shlichus is not on the result of the Maisa, but on the Maisa itself, kigon mazik v'gonev, shalachiv ha-maisa mitzad atzmo, l'chayev es oseu, ein tzarech ledin shlichus, v'rak kidei lahachshiv es ha-pu'ula al ha-meshaleach, I would say l'siaches, would be my change, es ha-pu'ula al ha-meshaleach, u'lechayev o tzarech ledin shlichus. So the Maisa per se is meaningful because he destroyed something, he stole something. You can't deny, you know, Kiddushin, if the Chalos is not there and there's no Shlichus, what's a Maisa Kiddushin? Call it a Matana, if you will. He gave her something of value. But in the case of a destructive act or a theft, there the Maisa is meaningful unto itself. But now we want to know who's responsible for that Maisa. Does the Maisa relate back to the Meshaleach? And the answer is Ein Shliach L'Dvar Avera. But then, such a case, K'sheyesh Avera She'ena V'Shiacheses L'Meshaleach L'Chayvo Aleha, in a case of Ein Shliach L'Dvar Avera, we cannot relate the Avera back to the Meshaleach, as we said earlier. Aval Maisa Shlichus Kayam, the action itself is alive and well, because it exists independent of the shlichus. Lachem beisha v'yevet afshel gavi alav. As far as the lav of Baal Tigno is concerned, b'nei chiyuv ninu hema. Ach kevan shel gavi chiyuva tashlumin enam b'nei chiyuva is chayav mishalcham. Let's see if we can semi-digest this. This goes beyond what we've discussed until now. I'm going to just peruse it one more time. I have an inkling of what he's saying, but I want to be sure that I'm right. Shalchiva ma'is mitzad atzmo l'chayev es oseu ein tzarech l'din shlichus if tashlumin is chayev mishalchom. So why do we need a din shlichus? So it's not because... Why do we need a din shlichus? He says, not because we want to make the maisa into a meaningful maisa, that it is already even without shlichus. So you could talk about the avera, and we could say that ein shlichus v'avera means that the mishalech is not liable for that avera. But nevertheless, the Maisa Shlichus is Kayam. Ah. Wow, this is very, very deep. That's why I told you that...
He's talking in the second half of Teretz and
Tosfos. He's talking about the second Teretz and Tosfos, and he wants to say that there's a fundamental difference between Kedushin and the case of Gneva. In Kedushin, there's no meaning whatsoever to the Maisa Kedushin unless you attach Shlichus here. Without the chalos shlichus, then what is a maisa kedushin? He's just giving her a gift, if you want to call it that. But certainly, it has no Torah's kedushin. There are, on the other hand, maisim in the world that are meaningful and they make a dent in this world even without shlichus. And that would be examples like mazik and ganav. And he says the nafkamina is going to be the following. In a case where the mice is only meaningful through shlichus, then ein shlich v'aveira tells me that the whole mice is completely meaningless, because this mice can only be meaningful through shlichus. And here we're going to apply the principle of ein shlich v'aveira. So if a kohen sends a Yisrael to mekadesh an isha, his Tosfos says that, well, what's the nature of this mice? It's meaningless unless you have shlichus, but we have a principle ein shlich v'aveira. So the kedushin is not chal at all, because you cannot have shlichus if there's no meaning to the maisa, unless we relate it back to the mshalech. We have no right to relate it back to the mshalech because it's a maisa vera. However, lu yitzur, the maisa vera would stand on its own 2 feet, independent of shlichus. For example, in the cases of mazik or ganov, so we don't need the shlichus to make the maisa into a meaningful maisa. In such a case, even though the avera per se is not related to the mshaleach, but the maisa, the shlichus, is kayam. Why? Not because I don't even need shlichus, because the maisa is inherently meaningful. So let's see how this applies to the case of isha v'eved. Oh. So the isha v'eved are what? The lav b'nei chiyuvahem. But since the chiv tashlumin, Gabi Chiv Tashlumin, Enom B'nei Chiyuva, is Chayav Mishalcham. This is the punchline of this whole presentation, but I'm not sure if I understand what he means. That if the Maisa Shliach is Chayav Kayam, regardless of Shlichus, because what happened, the Shliach stole something. So in that case, we're going to say that the Meshaleach is Chayav. Why is the Meshaleach Chayav? Since what? Oh, what does he mean by the Avera? The Avera. Ah, so the Avera now relates not to the Meshaleach, but to the Shliach. So you see that the Halacha is recognizing the validity, or the Chalos, if you will, the significance of that Maisa Vera, namely of the Gneva. Once the Torah recognizes that Gneva, then I free myself from the Avera element in this Maisa, and I talk about the Maisa being meaningful in and of itself, and setting up a chiyuv. So again, Tosfos can't do that in the case of Kohen Legrusha, because the entire enterprise of the Kiddushin is dependent upon Shlichus. And in this case, there is no Shlichus, because for a Kohen to marry Grusha is a Dvar Avera. But if you ask me about Gneva, where the Mice is meaningful per se, so then I could say that let's separate between the Avera element, and vis-a-vis the Avera element, we're going to say that there is no Shlichus, but vis-a-vis the Chiv Mon, the Chiv Tashlumin, there is Shlichus. Okay, Rabbi Osset, we'll stop here, and Bulineta will continue tomorrow.